morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everybody listening. My name is Abhinav Bikasani. Today, I'm here with my co-host Siddhartha and our guest Jayani for today. Jayani, can you please introduce yourself?
Hey everyone, myself Jaini Purohit. I'm currently a grade 12 student living in Vadodara, and well, I have opted for humanities, and I simply enjoy everything that this club does.
Jayani, can you talk a bit about why you chose humanities? Like, what do you see? What career prospects do you see in humanities and all that? Like, what interested you?
Sure. So basically, I chose humanities because I want to pursue law and I want to become a diplomat officer someday. So I chose humanities because it was the best fit for me.
A diplomat officer is like a career that I've not heard much about. Like, can you tell me a bit about what a diplomat officer does?
Okay, so basically, Indians must know it as an IFS officer, popularly. So basically, diplomat is just the same thing. We
So
just
like you IAS, IPS and all that.
Not exactly. IFS is completely different from IAS because they deal with the foreign relations of the country and like particularly working in international organizations.
All right.
So, Jayani, I
One second.
understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jayani, I understand that you're part of the teen debater, and you also mentioned that you wanted to go into humanities and law. So, what was your first impression of the entire landscape of debating and MUNs?
So basically, to be honest, I was a very, introverted person initially, and I never looked upon myself as a person who would get into debating. But then in grade 9 and 10, it just changed completely for me because it was my first year after the online school that we faced. And when I participated in one of the turncoat debates at my school, I thought that no, maybe I can do this. I got interested in it and I took like more part. And then I thought that no, I think I should just polish my skills more. And I took some advice from my teachers and I just kept on, working towards it and I just got into it completely.
So was the diplomat and law thing like something from childhood, or after you started exploring the world of debating, you sort of set your sights on it?
After I started exploring, because initially I do have a law background from my family also.
Okay.
And as a child, I always had this rebellious nature in me that I am not going to do anything that my, parents or anyone else did. So I was always inclined towards the world of astronomy more. But then when I thought that I should actually look upon my strengths more, and I have always been pathetic at mathematics, so obviously astronomy could have just never been an option for me. And then when I took parts in MUNs, that is when I thought that no, maybe I really want to do this, and that is how I just decided my career option.
Finding a career that you're passionate about is really hard to find that, like, especially at this age where we have so many things to do, like something from biology to chemistry. Like, even in biology chemistry, there's like a billion different things to do, right? So, like, what do you think, like, people our age can do to, like, find what makes us go brr?
I think one thing that people of our age should do is simply relax first and not think that everyone is going fast. They need to take it slow. We need to actually explore instead of just being pressurized by our peers or parents. I would just request everyone to take a moment and self-analyze themselves. That is what is going to actually help them. They don't have to
And
like hide.
let's shift back to topic of okay, continue. Sorry.
I'm done.
Oh, okay. And shifting back to topic of MUNs, like, when you first started MUNs, were there like any like anxieties or fears you had like while going in?
Yes,
And
for
if you
the
did, how do
first
you
time.
overcome them?
Sure. Basically, my first MUN was an online MUN. And I was always the person in my class who had the camera off. So it was like very hard for me to stick over there for long hours. And I never really spoke much. I remember my first committee was Lok Sabha and I was on the opposition side. And I was just very nervous. I didn't have any points in my mind. Everything was new for me. I spoke barely, but then when I got into my first offline MUN, it was like completely different. I thought I should take the press because that would just help me observe the other delegates more. And that is when I thought that when I got the chance to interview people, I was not nervous as such because I'm a person who like freely talk with anyone. So when I was interviewing, that's when I realized the number of like the amount of research it needs to actually give proper answers to even a person who is like just asking me random questions. I was never really nervous about it. In fact, it was really fun for me.
So, doing all of this, obviously, more than guts, it takes, your inner confidence or building confidence. So, the first time you ever went into like debating committee where people were, clashing with each other's points, people are on different sides, what was your first experience like that? And did it teach you anything important that you still hold till today?
Oh yes, okay. Like when for the first time I was in an actual debate, I was actually like from the inside I was laughing because it was so fun. I was just going with the flow, giving my points, listening to others. I was like feeling like home, when I was in a debate competition for the first time. The one thing I learned is that screaming never works. You don't have to yell to prove your point. You just need to be calm and cool and composed. Because I still remember the people who were on the other side of me. They were constantly yelling to prove their point, which just made the entire crowd and judges go like, when will they shut up? So that is one thing I learned, that screaming never helps. And my first experience was just amazing. I had just simply loved being there because first time I remember I spoke a lot and honestly it was yapping to be very frank, but still it just made sense somehow. And I still remember a few people were praising me and a few people just wanted me to shut up. So I just realized I need to be more, focusing on points instead of just speaking around.
Yeah, so oftentimes in an argument, like a debate and arguments are like intercorrelated in some way. So a lot of times, even when you don't mean to, you do lose your cool sometimes. So was there ever an experience like that where you lost your cool in debating or anyone's and you just went off track?
Okay, so basically I was in a debate which was like a technical one based on deep fakes. And I have no idea why this one opponent of mine, he was constantly focusing on geopolitics more than the topic of deep fakes. I was trying to divert him as much as I could, but he was simply not. And I just requested him to shut up finally for once, for which I did get a scolding from the judge because I was not allowed to get that angry. But then I tried to explain everyone that he is just not focusing on the topic. And they were like, we get your point, but you can't just lose your cool. I was like, I am sorry. And I just went, because it was very annoying. Like, why are you talking about something which is not even the main topic? That just really made me piss off.
Yeah, like in MUNs, you'll find a lot of people who are just like, who give you the ick or like get your nerves a lot. So, like, of course, like in this case, you lost your cool, but like, is there something that you do usually that prevents you from doing this?
Oh yes, I have learned this one thing. Like count 1 to 5 in your mind before you speak again. Like just first take a deep breath. Count 1 to 5. Think that no, you are a human, remain calm. You don't have to lash out or you will only lose points. That is what I think before I, just speak up. And I'm like, no, you are a mature person. You don't have to go there. I just self-talk a little before speaking.
I think that self-talk is something that everybody should have, right? Because a lot of us, we say things we shouldn't, we don't mean, like just in the heat of the moment. Like we all have that adrenaline coursing through us and all that. So yeah, definitely that's a good point. And as a follow-up, have you ever like lost your control, like with your mouth, like just started yapping absolute ugh, and just went on like on a train?
Not really, because I actually have done that, but it was like, not a formal thing. It was a very informal setting where I have done that many times. I'll agree to it because once I get started with one topic, my brain goes on to a connecting topic and then just a third one and I just go on and I've been asked to like, please shut up or just please get a track of what you're trying to say. That happens a lot with me because I just love yapping a lot and I honestly feel like I'll do that several times in this podcast also.
So, moving on to the next part of what we're trying to achieve in this episode. So you did mention a lot about, going off track, whether it's your opponent or you, or just getting angry or losing your cool. What do you do to bounce back from a mistake like this in debates? And what steps do you take to recover from such things?
Well, when I just go a little off track or something, I just kind of, gaslight people a little and just say, okay, well, even if it is, relatable, let's just not go there and come back to XYZ point. That is how I just switch again when I go off track. I don't really let it affect my entire speech wherein I just go silent. I'm like, sorry, I shouldn't have gone over there. Let's just get back. I don't try to show that it was my mistake.
Yeah, diverting topics and all, like talking to people in general, like that takes a lot of confidence, right? Like in MUN especially, because there are so many people from young people to old people. There's people scrutinizing you all the time. Like for that like you need a lot of confidence. Like how do you think you create confidence? Like before you go to MUN, so like during an MUN.
So this is one thing that I've always told anyone who asks me. Always have a good mindset first. Like, speaking as a psychology student also, always think that when you speak, others listen to you. Don't kick in the idea that, oh, they are going to judge you, or what they are going to think. It doesn't matter. You're not going to be with them in the next run. Like, just speak whatever you want to, what you feel appropriate. And don't think that others are going to judge you, because even if they will, it really doesn't matter. And as an audience also, I have seen many people who don't really care about what you are saying. They are just there to listen or something. Or even in a convo, when you have to talk to a stranger, just think of them as just one of your close friends. Like, just go to them. The only thing is you don't know their name, which you're going to ask. So just don't feel nervous, because they are just another human over there, not deep.
So, all of these, they can kind of come under learnings that you've gained over your experience, right? And let's kind of backtrack a bit. You did mention that you had a background of law in your family. And obviously you're very interested in debates and stuff. And you seem to be extremely experienced with it. So is there anyone in your life that serves as an inspiration for such things? And can you give us any examples of what you've learned from them? Whether that be skills or, mindsets.
Yes, my father has like been the biggest motivator, the biggest supporter for me. Like, as much as my mom also gives me all the pieces of advice that I need in the world, I think my dad has like always pretty much been there, even when on days I'm not feeling it, or when even in a competition I still remember I had flopped very badly and I had just straight up called him after everything got over. I was crying. He always told me that, not every day can be your day. Some days you win, some days you lose. And my dad has always taught me that a person who remains like patient in life will always get the fruit, because you don't have to hurry through it. And as much as time is slipping from our hands, it is not so fast that you lose the your sanity. My dad has always taught me these things, which I remember, and I think they've helped me a lot in my competitions and even normal daily life.
So, going from your idol back to yourself, is there anything that has been a fundamental part of your entire debating mindset? Like that one core element that makes Jayani debate like Jayani?
Yes, one thing I always try to do is to add little bit of witty humor in my speeches or anything, because that is what truly captures people. Not everyone just want to sit and listen to some statistical data or some random person screaming. They need some humor which catches their attention. So I always ensure to add something which makes my convo light also, but at the same time doesn't lose the depth of the topic.
Now, humor in MUNs is like a is a ironically a funny topic, because sometimes like even I've tried this humor thing, and so, like some one time I did this, my chair got really mad at me because he's like, "This is a serious MUN. What are you doing over here?" So like, do you think you like humor can be used like in every situation, or like do you think you have to look at the people and then use like humor and all that?
You need to look at the situation and use. I totally agree. But humor doesn't necessarily have to be a joke. You know, many people find taunts also as funny, something satire or like anything of that sort also does their work, because when you are attacking someone indirectly or directly, the other people in the room find it funny. So it could also be a simple taunt which makes sense.
Now about attacking people, like in an MUN. Sometimes there's always this one person who just, really gets you riled up, like once like you want to attack them. And sometimes they're on your side, right? So like how do you hold back from, let's say, like imagine you're USA and he's Canada, and then he starts speaking crap about you. So like would you go and attack him back, or would you hold back and just let him say what he wants?
As much as I want to invade him, I would just try to remain calm and use my speech as a way to like attack him. I wouldn't like use any POI or something to directly just, you know, make it obvious that I am attacking him, because I don't want that impression of me as a delegate to be like, you know, he or she is simply attacking the other person A or B or the country A or B. If in this example of USA and Canada, I would either just make, I would write up a chit, honestly, that would make the person feel bad about whatever they have said, or something that makes them, you know, double think whatever they spoke. Or in my speech, I would just mention that one of my fellow delegates or something. I would never directly take the name.
Okay, so coming back to our main topic, I'm sure as an experienced debater yourself, you've had some moments where motivation just doesn't feel like a thing anymore in the world, where you feel like giving up, it's helpless, nothing can fix this. Have you ever dealt with such moments, and what did you do to sort of combat it?
Well, yes, this has happened very recently with me, as I had mentioned previously that I completely flopped in one of my competitions. It was in grade 11 when this happened, when I tried to, like, every single mindset shift I tried on me, but it simply did not work. I don't know, I was confident, but as soon as I got onto the stage, it just went blank. I had no clue what to speak. The points just went up and down. And everything went haywire, and I was literally shivering on stage. And it was very, very embarrassing for me, because my teachers were sitting over there who had literally suggested my name, and I felt like I had completely disappointed them and my parents. The minute I got down, and everything got little over, there was a break. I went out, I was crying. One of my friend who was there with me, she was consoling me, and I tried to, like, you know, because then there was still rebuttaling round left. So I was trying to gain my composure back. I went in, but again, it just felt like that day was completely against me. And when I got back home, I just hugged my mom. I was crying badly, and I had like posted these sad status also. And I had a word with my teacher, and my teacher was like, "See, we know who the real Jaini is. Just because of one bad experience, it doesn't define you entirely." And honestly, no amount of motivation worked at that time. No matter how much everyone was saying, I just told them, like, whatever, it might have been a fluke. Maybe I'm not really that good. And I was just completely in that negative atmosphere around myself that I had created, no matter how much others were trying to make me feel better. So yeah, and I just got out of it when, during my sports day, I got the chance to anchor. That is when I again gained a little bit of confidence, and I got in onto the track again and forgot about that bad incident.
So I think it's safe to say you've bounced back from such an experience. So let's bounce back to another part of our episode. So obviously we've talked about failure. Now let's talk about a lighter note on success. Obviously, success is something great. There's no other feeling like it in this entire world. But then again, success can also be harmful. It'll make you feel complacent. It'll make you feel relaxed. It'll make you feel like you've already done enough. So, how do you stay motivated to keep improving on yourself and your craft, even after, a big or a small success might make you feel a bit more complacent?
The first thing, no matter how big or small the win is, a person should never get tacky about it or flex. And honestly, I have faced it when in 10th standard I did get, a little bit of attitude after I had won two competitions. And right after that, I got a nice slap from God, which I had just shared. So that just teaches you that no matter how good you are, there's always someone who's far better than you. You should never forget that. Maybe that better person was not there in that competition, but you might ever face him or her. You never know. You just need to make sure that if you think your skills are good, then try finding better skills. Try finding better research methods or even better ways to deliver your speech. You should never stop yourself from, polishing it.
Yeah, so sometimes, as you mentioned, there'll always be someone better than you. But sometimes people, including me, actually, I'm a very unfortunately good example of it. I can't deal with the fact or thought that there is someone better than me. So do you think there are some situations that are beneficial in thinking like that, where you are the best in the world and no one is on top of you?
This does work, okay? And you are not alone. As I said, I have also felt at a point that I am the best. And that motivation, that mindset only helps the minute before you get onto the stage. When you are going to speak, think that you are the best. But while you have to practice, while you are preparing, never think that you are doing the best thing because there must be someone else with a better research. But when you are speaking, just speak like you are confident because that does help a lot of people. Just think that you are the only one, you are the best, but never while practicing.
Yeah, now we're talking about the someone better, right? How do you think we can become this someone better? Like, how do you think we can hone our game and MUNs? How do you think we can become the people see, look and go, oh yeah, I can't keep up with that guy. I have to work harder.
So see, first thing which is very important that in any competition or any MUN, always observe. As much as you are like actively participating, you should always keep an eye on what others are doing and how they are putting their views forward. Because that always helps you in knowing what the judges or the chair really wants. Not your ways always work, You need to adapt and also, inherit some other traits like as I said, maybe humor. Someone else might be always, in a very angry or frustrated tone while speaking, which doesn't always work. You should always learn from other people also. And you should kind of like see videos, watch content that can help you, other than always doom scrolling on Instagram. If you're like really passionate, then that would just come from within you to make yourself better.
Yeah, definitely. Like in my most recent MUN, like this guy who I was like against. So I completely wrote him off because at that time I had the most amount of people in my block and all. But so like because I wrote him off, like he like went behind my back and like swooped everybody from my block into his, and that was like very big surprise. And yeah. So how do you think do you think we should write off people or do you think we should keep an eye on everybody? Is like my question.
You just need to be aware because such things do happen frequently, and it also counts about the level of maturity that you have in you. You just can't, like observing, yes, you can do it with everyone, but in times like these, as you said, you need to be cautious about who you are actually dealing with, who you are making your friend or a foe, and MUN especially. Because honestly, right after a committee session, anyone could turn their back to against you. So you just need to make sure that when even during your speeches or saying something, you need to ensure that you try to keep everyone in your control. As much as the opponent or anyone else tries to gain them back or just draw them away from you, you just need to speak, always this sugar-coated quinine thing really works in competitions like these.
Okay, so we did talk about having a great surprise. So what is the most surprising or unexpected thing that's ever happened to you in debate, whether that's a dynamic with a teammate or something that happened during the actual, event of the debate, or you know.
One thing that really surprised me once is that I had a really nice point, okay? And I thought that no one else can ever find this point from anywhere. And I was the person right next. I was going to give my part. But just before me, the girl who was speaking, she mentioned that point in her speech. That really made me lose my temper from the inside because I had thought that no one is going to get this point right. And it just slipped from her, and I was like, okay, guess what? My speech is not unique anymore. Because the rest of it just felt like repetition of others had said.
Yeah, like all these funny things happen, and I have to say this has been one of the most captivating and interesting episode of ours to date. So Jayani, like before we wrap things up, because I think time is coming, we're coming short on time. Can you give us like a concluding statement? Like you're sure everybody who's listening.
Sorry, can you just repeat that last line?
I believe we're coming short on time, so can you please like give some a concluding statement for everybody who's listening?
Sure. So to everyone who's listening right now, I just request all of you to be true to yourself. Never, feel low about yourself and never get into the negative self-talk era because that is just not what you are. You might think, but that is not how the reality works. I request everyone to keep polishing themselves no matter what you do. It could be debating, MUN, or any other skill that you are good at. Just never stop where you are because when you stop, other people go ahead of you, and we don't want that, right? So always, try to update yourself in whatever field you are. For all the debaters listening right now, guys, you guys need to just have that faith in your own script. Don't completely rely on AI also. Make sure that your sources are eligible, authentic, and everything. You just need that confidence in you to speak. And for those who are shy, who like what I initially was, you are not truly shy, okay? And at some point in life, you need to get out of your cocoon. So why not now? So just go out, conquer, and just speak what you truly feel is right and wrong because your voice and your opinion does matter, even if you think it don't. And I just hope that everyone who is listening to this finds a little bit of motivation from me and learns something from me today.
All right. Okay. So thank you, Jayani, so much for having for taking some time out to be part of this episode today. And I hope everyone who's listening learned something extremely valuable from today's episode. And I do really have to say that this was one of the most interesting episodes we have recorded. So thank you very much, Jayani, again. And that is a wrap on Beyond the Gavel episode 8. Thank you.